ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Monday, August 12th, 2019. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Mullins, as always. Of course, today we have the week in review. We'll talk about the games in Major League Soccer a little later in the show. We'll also talk about the St. Ricketts coming back to Canada, to Vancouver. But Dwayne, we're starting this Monday's show by talking about RSL's decision last night to fire Mike Petke. Yeah, a decision that we kind of knew, kind of felt that it was coming.
Yeah, fair enough. And real quickly before we jump in, if you're looking for European results, of course, the English Premier League and other leagues started this weekend. We are going to focus all of our European coverage on Tuesdays, at least to as a test run for a couple months to see whether that works out a little bit better. We'll jump in if there's breaking news. But Mike Petke is breaking news, fired overnight. Basically, you know, this is in response to what we talked about with the League's Cup a few weeks ago. I guess it was a week and a half ago or so now, when he went off on a tirade against the referee, used the P word, which is a word that is chanted at goal kicks in Mexico a lot. So you'll know what that word means and why it's offensive. We've been over this a lot of times before, so we're not going to repeat it today. It's not really debatable in my mind. And look, this, as you said, I think we saw it coming. $25,000 fine, I guess that answers the question of who's paying for that. It's not RSL.
that's true.
And
which is more than that, too. It was three MLS league game suspension, the three League Cup game suspension, $25,000 in a two-week without pay suspension, still during that 2 weeks, and now they've decided to terminate his contract. Here, let me read the press release, because there's a few interesting wording, and I think it's important that we see it's not just a firing, it's termination of contract, because apparently with the wording of this, it was something against his contract that he did and nullified the contract. So here we go. Real Salt Lake announced on Sunday that the club has terminated the contract of head coach Mike Petke. Assistant coach Freddy Juarez was named interim head coach for the remainder of the 2019 season. The club has issued the following statement. At Real Salt Lake, we have the privilege to represent our great community and fans here locally and on a national and global basis. We hold all our coaches, players, executive, and staff to the highest standards of professionalism. As an organization, it is vital that everyone, particularly our leadership, reflects and embodies our core values and the values of our community, treating all people with respect, civility, and professionalism. Moreover, throughout our 15-year history, we have championed diversity, acceptance, and inclusion throughout our organization, our stadium, and our community. This is a responsibility that we take very seriously. On Tuesday, July 30th, after investigation and in conjunction with Major League Soccer, the club levied the steepest sanction ever imposed on an MLS coach when we suspended Mike Petke without pay for 2 weeks, in addition to his three-match suspension in MLS and $25,000 fine. After further deliberation and a series of constructive discussions internally and with various members of our community, we have concluded, pursuant to his employment agreement, to immediately terminate Mike Petke's employment. To me, the important phrase in this press release, Dwayne, is this. We have concluded, pursuant to his employment agreement, to immediately terminate Mike Petke's employment. So, in contracts, I guess there is language clauses and behavior clauses.
Yeah, it's an ethics clause. It's sort of pretty common in a professional services contract, which is essentially what a professional athlete or a professional coach has. And I mean, if you know anything about how these things work, Mike Petke, this is a really big blow. I mean, he is paying a lot for this because that generally means he's not getting a severance. And that is going to be very difficult for him. And this is a very difficult lesson. And I suppose no one is going to defend his reaction. I suppose someone could say that this might be a bit harsh for the use of terminology that is pretty common in the soccer environment, to fire a man, take his livelihood away, fine him $25,000. It seems like he's being maybe made as an example. But And that's maybe true. And I don't necessarily – I do have – look, I used to work in the criminal justice system a long, long time ago now, but I did. I worked in a jail for young offenders. For those that don't know, did that for 2 years in my early 20s. I enjoyed it, and it taught me a lot about humanity and about empathy and about understanding, you know, that not everyone's line is a straight line. So I do have empathy and do believe in second chances. So I do hope that this will not completely derail his ability to change and get employment in the future. But I also believe in taking responsibility for your actions and paying for the punishment that comes therein. That's the other side of the coin when you're talking about, yeah, about that. I mean, I'm talking about criminal justice. He didn't break the law.
He broke rules. He didn't break the law, but he broke some rules, and he broke some moral laws, I guess. And for me, that's the question. Are we going to see Mike Petke again in Major League Soccer? If we remember, after his dismissal with New York, he had a little bit of time off and then appeared in USL with Real Monarchs, which are the USL affiliate of Real Salt Lake. And eventually, when Real Salt Lake did some coaching change 3 games into the season, Mike Petke was the candidate to take over. With this situation, his firing, and also the, I would say, bad note on the resume. Now, when you're trying to get another job in Major League Soccer, this stands out. And this might make you not part of the boys' club, if you know what I mean. And it might be a bit more difficult for Mike Petke to not just get a job in Major League Soccer, but even the USL in the future. We'll see if we...
Or coaching in the future, period.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. If you are a kid, if you are a parent, then your kid is in development somewhere in an academy. And, yeah, what you remember is what you heard. And my Petke has a foul mouth, right? So that's what it's going to be his reputation, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, if you're a youth club, he's toxic right now. You're not going to hire him to do that. If you're a professional club, same deal. I mean, he's out of the loop for a while. He's out of the old boys' network. Will not be necessarily, you know, if he continues to struggle, they're going to be probably looking for a new coach in the offseason. They're sure as hell not calling Mike Petke now, right? He's not getting an interview.
I think there's more chances that Mauro Biello gets hired by TFC than Mike Petke even gets an interview anywhere in Major League Soccer.
Yeah, precisely. Like, this is the thing. Look, again, I don't believe he should get a life sentence for this. I believe he should be provided the opportunity to legitimately reflect and change, but there does need to be a significant amount of time out. What he does in the meantime, hope his partner has a good income, because I think he's going to be on the sidelines for a while unless he wants to sell cars or something somewhere,
and,
you know?
And when you mention sidelines, is not on the sideline, is without working the sidelines.
Precisely. I mean, because the other job that he would be good at, and what he did after New York let him go, was he was good at the media side. But no one's going to touch him, particularly not at MLSsoccer.com.
Well,
that grudge is burned.
No one's going to give him a live microphone. It's that easy. If you have trouble controlling your outbursts of anger directed at referees with expletive words that are politically incorrect, to not say insulting... Yeah, you're not going to get a live microphone anywhere. Maybe. I will see. Anyways, Mike Petke lost his job. There's only so many things we can say. Freddy Juarez, who was assistant, will be the interim manager until the end of the season. What that does say, though, is... I'm just going to put the standings on the screens for a second so the listeners can see the Western Conference standings. What does it say for Real Salt Lake? And is it going to derail their season? That's my question. Real Salt Lake are right now sixth in the Western Conference, 34 points. If the playoff would start tomorrow morning, they would finish sixth. They would be in the playoffs, and they would face the Earthquakes in a one-off game in the first round of the playoffs. But they're only 3 points clear of the last Portland Timbers, who are fighting for a playoff spot, the last team fighting for a playoff spot. So they only have 3 points clear, and they only have 0.07 points per game difference with Portland Timbers. The Timbers have played 22 games. They have a game in hand on RSL. So Real Salt Lake's season is still up for grabs. The playoffs are still possible, but the no playoff is still possible too. Does a coaching change, especially with the negative connotation of a termination of contract, a firing of coach because he did an egregious offense, does that have a chance of derailing the last 11 games remaining for RSL?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, there's 16 teams between 30 and 39 points in MLS right now. So, you know, they've taken parity to the absurdity right now. But nonetheless, it's, you know, as you say, there's a possibility for this to go either way. And I just simply, I'm not going to pretend to know right now. You're right. We'll have to watch carefully. They are, I think their players probably would have known this is coming. It is not a major change in terms of who is taking over. It's just who was there already. So there won't be major changes in how they, the philosophy of the game is. It's kind of a unique situation that way.
Before I forget, Dwayne, I'm sorry if I'm interjecting. The owner of RSL a couple of weeks ago actually wrote an article and did an interview with the local community talking about the situation and talking about how we're having meetings right now with our staff, with our community, with our sponsors and our fans to see their reaction. We suspended him now, but we'll see what steps we take in the disciplinary action versus Mike Petke. And there was a lot of talk, and I think it was transparent for once, where the front offices of Real Salt Lake, the owner, were transparent about how to deal with this situation and truly getting the feeling of the fan base and the players, and everyone was interviewed, and there was a big inquiry done, and I think that's kind of transparent for once. It's not just you hear something happening and then you see the hammer being hammered down, and then, okay, he's fired or everything is swept under the rug, but rarely do we see a transparency to the extent where RSL owner did a couple of weeks ago, which led to yesterday.
Yeah, look, it's a sensitive situation. I mean, it's so visible, even though it was on a game that no one cared about, and that's an irony to this, is it happens in the League's Cup. Like, how are you that upset about the League's Cup, Mike? I don't understand.
That's, I never thought about that, but it's true. Continue.
Yeah. Look, you had to, and they had to talk to all stakeholders, and I'm sure that even the fans, fan groups had some degree of input in at least putting their views forward in this, and you know, I wouldn't hope that any decision would ever be made entirely on fan reaction, but they would have to in Major League Soccer. Major League Soccer is very, and there's another issue we're monitoring right now, and that's sort of the anti-fascism sort of stuff that's happening right now, and the pushback against league policy. We're not going to talk about that today, or we will keep an eye on that, but I think it speaks to an overall issue, and this ties into it, Kevin, in that MLS fan groups tend to have a point of view, and the point of view can be very articulated very effectively sometimes through banners and through chants and through things like that, and it tends to be in opposition and on the opposite side of anyone who would yell that, right? So to lose that and to run the risk of him coming back and having all of these, you know, having protests in the stands and people putting banners up and the whole, like, it's a mess for the league. It's a mess for RSL. And the fact that they let him go, you know, cynically speaking, they were always going to, because they don't want to deal with it. I do think that by having this level of transparency, they are doing the right thing and are demonstrating, they're taking that cynicism away a little bit. They don't necessarily come off as a cynical decision. This comes off as a, like, yeah, we're doing this is the right thing. And, you know, to terminate him outright, as you say, in, you know, no severance, as we assume, based on the language that they used, that's setting themselves up for a challenge in, you know, Mike Petke can obviously take them to court.
In labor court, yeah.
Dismissal. And maybe they might have to pay it out, and that would be something that would be there. But, you know, they're doing the right thing, as you say. Maybe there's some of the motivation is to avoid the messes that this would create if they brought him back on the pitch. But at the same time, I don't know, like, that act only goes so far, and I think we're seeing more and more of that act sort of go away in across the sports world out there. The coaches that rant and rave and scream and throw things, the dinosaurs nowadays, they really are motivators, tacticians. That's more what you see in the modern manager. Like, I mean, yes, you've guys like Klopp and Pep, the two high profile, probably the two highest profile managers in the world right now.
But those
they have passion.
Exactly. Yeah, but
they yell at referees. But go ahead.
They yell at referee, but they don't yell expletive at the referee. They yell during the games between the whistles. But that's not what it's about. I can tell you from third degree of separation. I've talked to players that who played under those coaches, and those are motivators. They're player coaches. They're never gonna have that rant directed towards a player or towards a referee with expletive in it or with something else without an ulterior motive. And sometimes it's motivation. Sometimes it's to highlight something else. But yeah, it is. The rah-rah coaches or the rah-rah bosses in this world, I think it goes more than just the soccer world. It's going away. Millennials, Xennials, and the generation coming after do not respond well under threat. And I'm one of those, and I don't respond well. But I can understand. And we'll keep an eye, and hopefully RSL can right the ship, or at least not sink too much below the red line for RSL fans. Before we talk about the weekend review, a player making his way back to Canada, Vancouver Whitecaps needed a striker. The St. Ricketts wanted to come back home to St. Ricketts in Vancouver to finish the season.
Yeah, as he was sold from TFC, they had to do a little slip on the allocation, I believe. Yeah, I think it's a decent signing for Vancouver right now. They get a little veteran presence back there. A little bit of a player, a guy that I should say that the fans will enjoy. Toussaint is a very personable person. He certainly will be a fan favorite, I suspect, pretty quickly in Vancouver. They probably had a better version of him in the lineup last year that they let go in Kamara, so I'm not sure what they were doing about that. But nonetheless, as a Canadian, we kind of like this. And, you know, there's a couple other storylines to talk about here, which is why I wanted to highlight this signing, which maybe not necessarily be a typical signing level that we would highlight, although we do like to talk about the Canadians, obviously, as a Canadian-based show. It's that it does sort of speak to both, you know, TFC letting this go and then having, you know, Boyd, the guy that they brought in to replace him on a much higher salary, let go before he even plays a year. And Mullins did score on the weekend, thankfully for TFC. It would have been a much more difficult conversation had they not at least got the draw on Saturday. But yeah, so Saint has continued to score in Lithuania, and we'll expect he'll continue to get the results. His issue in Toronto, and why I think TFC moved away from him, is they wanted a true backup to Jozy Altidore. And they didn't view him as a backup so much as a impact sub. And is this a good signing for Vancouver to bring in an impact sub at this point? How often do they need impact subs? They probably need a guy that can start to consistently to score.
They need both.
Because Montero is not doing it.
Honestly, they need both, but yeah, but I agree. And it is a not too expensive transfer or player as well. He's not going to cost you that much money on your salary cap or on your bottom line. So if you're Vancouver, that's part of your motto. So it's okay. It's not going to cost us an arm and a leg. So why not give him a chance? And it's something.
He's only 32. I think a lot of people view him as older than he is.
That's true.
He might have a couple years left.
Yeah, for some reason. It's true, though. He's only 32. For some reason, when I see Ricketts, I just see a guy who is playing 5-6 minutes at the end of TFC games and missing a lot of chances. Creating a lot of chances, yes. Missing some as well. But, yeah, that's what I saw. It's true. When you say he's only 32, I'm like, oh, wow, I'm older than him. So, all right.
Yeah, I'm old. The other, real quickly before we move on, the other issue, and this is more of a Two Solitudes issue, and you can, of course, get Two Solitudes every Tuesday now. $2 a month or more, is focused entirely on Canadian soccer and the Canadian Premier League, is that for a lot of points after he was let go by TFC last year, a lot of people expected that he would end up to go to FC Edmonton. FC Edmonton now first place in the fall season, which is a bit of a surprise. But anyway, they expected that to happen, and it did. And a lot of people are now looking at him going to Vancouver and going, huh, what's that about? And I think it's pretty simple to say what that's about. We now have a pretty good idea of what the top salaries are in the Canadian Premier League, and he's getting more in Vancouver.
Exactly, and that's true. So, but players like Tony Chani, we never talked about this. Speaking of FC Edmonton, Tony Chani, former Colorado player and over 1,000 game experience in Major League Soccer, is now playing in the Canadian Premier League. For FC Edmonton.
Yeah, Vancouver. He's been around and had played some time in Canada, so he was open to it already. There's also another Cameroonian player at FC Edmonton, which I think probably was part of the reason that he'll feel comfortable up there. No, I said it when it happened. and forgive our MLS-only listeners out there for a couple seconds of Campiel talk here, but I think this is a fascinating signing in the league's history in the sense that this is the first player to come over that has significant, and that's arbitrary, that's subjective, I know significant is, but when you look at the next highest appearance level of any player in Campiel in MLS, other than Nigel Jiang, who's been hurt all year.
Kyle Becker?
He's Kyle Becker. And Kyle Becker has 56 appearances versus Tony Chen is 212. To me, that is a very big difference there. And to see what Chaney does in Canadian Premier League will give us a much better context, I think, of where the league stands. Not a perfect one, because you can't compare what Tony Chaney did, you know, when he was 23 with Columbus with what he's going to do now in Edmonton, but I do think it allows you to sort of see that. And if he does there and if he goes up there and he's successful and he has a good time and he starts talking to other players like him in, you know, that sort of MLS bubble area, then that might make some of them call their agents and go, you know what, I'd rather go to Calgary than Lithuania next year. So maybe we finish our career somewhere like that. And I think that's a net benefit for the league.
So I think we need to get Tony Chani on the line. We need to talk to Tony. Like, Tony, so next time you talk to your friends in the States, soccer friends, soccer players, don't forget to mention that if you get injured, you just go to the hospital and you just told them, yeah, I'm a worker here and I got my permanent residency because I'm a worker here and you're not going to have to pay for your medical expenses. So that's a good bargaining token to make players decide to give it a shot or not.
Sure enough, and speaking of get on the line, our two solitudes are booked up for the next 2 weeks, but maybe 3 weeks down the line, I might get FC Edmonton on the line today and see if I can't make that happen, because he would be an interesting conversation to have, Kevin. But we'll see if we can get that booked. Exciting guest, tomorrow we have a Winnipeg guest, and 2 weeks from now, I'm not going to announce it yet until I've confirmed it 1,000,000%, but it should be a fun talk, and a guy that has a lot of contacts in both Campiel and other levels of Canadian soccer is booked right now for two Tuesdays from now. So $2 a month or more.
And Patreon
podcast.
Yep, at patreon.com/sportspodcast. And Dirk, we do thank the 15 new Patreons since last week. We do thank you all for your patronage, for your trust. And tomorrow we'll record another edition of the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast for Canadian Soccer only. And you can go to patreon.com/sportspodcast. But let's quickly take a look at MLS games this weekend. Quickly, because it's already 11:26. This goes really quickly. But Seattle, New England, 3-3. Toronto 1, Orlando 1. Do you consider disaster averted? Because losing at home to Orlando, that's not a good look.
Well, would have let Orlando catch them in the standings, too, this state put. As I said earlier in this show, there are 16 teams between 30 and 39 points in the league right now. That's going over both conferences. That is just how tight it is. Toronto's still below that red line, although somehow with that point, because Montreal didn't grab any, has allowed them to catch up and be tied on points and behind in the tiebreaker right now. So it's going to be a slog to the end. Whoever gets hot first is going to end up taking this thing. And there's a bit of a separation happening now in the last couple of weeks. I think Atlanta has demonstrated in the last couple of weeks in particular that they might be the team to beat in the East, and that would go with a lot of people's preseason picks, including, I believe, ours. Although I think I have the fourth. I don't know. It's just a mess. Like, I don't find this compelling that much. I know there's a lot of people that are going to be like, oh, look at these playoff battles. To me, it's like, oh, look at all these teams crawling back to the middle. But other topic for another day.
Look at all these teams that none of them want to win. That's pretty much what it is. But no, let's go back to the results. Columbus 2, Cincinnati 2. No winner in the first ever Major League Soccer Battle of Ohio. It finished on a draw. I have to say, watching that game, I was dizzy just watching the grass. Quite an intricate pattern for the grass in Columbus in that game, and it's my eyes didn't really like that, but that's my own prerogative. FC Dallas 5, Minnesota United 3 with a red card. Big win at home for FC Dallas, continuing their at least their maintaining of their ship in the last spot that gives them access to the playoffs in the Western Conference, but by a point only, so by a thread. Sporting Kansas City, big loss with the red card against RSL. And that's a good win for RSL, making the distractions go away and getting the results on the field without Mike Petke being present. He was suspended at that point. That was before the firing. Colorado 2, San Jose 1 on Saturday. Chicago 3, Montreal 2. Bakary Sagna was livid after the game. Montreal tied the game in the 80th minute. And it's a tie game. And then they concede a goal on a corner at the 85th minute. And Montreal loses on the road 3-2 after coming back from behind and showing good potential. Nacho Piani was rested in this game. We did see the debut of Boyan and Corrales, who played really well, actually. And Corrales gives some options for Montreal on the left-back side. But Montreal doing some rotation, having the game in Calgary versus Cavalry of Wednesday night in mind. Piatti is going to play 90 minutes in Calgary. So if you don't have your tickets in Calgary yet, guess what? You'll see the best soccer player to ever play in your city Wednesday night.
Yes, with only six, I looked this morning, there are only six tickets left in the supporters section of Calgary. I mentioned the expensive tickets, you can get a lot more, but we'll preview the Voyageurs Cup games a lot more, both on Tuesday yeah. and probably we'll touch on them on Wednesday as well. But it's the fact that Calgary got that away goal probably forced Montreal to do a bit of that rotation because they don't want to lose the opportunity to advance, and it all plays a role there. We'll see. The fact that conversely, although they didn't have benefit in from it. Conversely, Toronto was able to play a closer to full strength on Saturday because they are up two goals and two road goals to boot against Ottawa. So interesting times. It does look like we're probably going to be back with the same old in the Voyageurs Cup final. But we'll talk more about that.
It does look like I might travel to Toronto mid-September to cover another Canadian Championship. From BMO
Field.
My mom's
birthday weekend. It's my mom's birthday when one of the games, so I got to figure out whether I can pull that one off or not. But maybe I'll celebrate her birthday a couple days early and stop on the way.
Exactly. That could be a good idea. The last game on Saturday was Portland 3, Vancouver 1. A big loss for Vancouver. We'll see if the reinforcement of Tassane Ricketts does help the Whitecaps with their offensive production. Atlanta United 2, NYCFC 1. That header from Yosef Martinez, the first goal in that game, is a, I would say, clinic of how to head a ball with power, with accuracy. Accuracy wasn't that accurate, but it was so powerful that the keeper even put a hand on it sometimes, still went in. So, great header by Atlanta. Atlanta continues their climb up the Eastern Conference standings. Philly 2, Houston Dynamo 1. That's two back-to-back wins for Philly after their 4-0 loss versus Montreal. You know what? I used to say that I don't believe in Philly. I might not fully believe in Philly, but at this point, I have to say, not only will Philly make the playoffs, there's a very good chance they'll host a playoff game. Never mind. Winning the East, that's going to be tough, but they're going to be top four in the East by the end of this season. They're going to stay there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as I said before, picked them second at the start of the year. I think the young talent was ready to break through, and they have. They haven't actually just burst out, and no one's grabbed a hold. This is a broken record. No one's grabbing a hold of it. Atlanta's coming on, but we'll see. I'll believe it when I see it. Whoever gets on a 5-game winning streak first is winning the East, and then coin flip in the final, as we know. Although maybe it's not a coin flipping completely because it's not going to be on the road almost certainly. Is it though? If it's in LA, it's going to be on the road because LAFC is winning the Shield. But if you look at the West, they're as tight below LA as anyone else. That's what makes, I think, why people think the West is so much stronger is because they look at LA and they just get blinded by LAFC and they ignore the fact that the rest of that conference is just as wacky as the East is right now.
Blinded by the lights. Pretty much the lights and glitz of LA is making the Western Conference look a bit more close than it actually is. LA is really good, and they're fun to watch. Another win last night. LA beat the Red Bulls 4-2, and DC United 2, LA Galaxy 1. I guess DC United wanted to avenge Major League Soccer and the playoff format by making Zlatan heed his words.
Yeah, well, if Zlatan's so worried about the playoff format, he might want to make them for once and do something then before he complains about the luck. I got into this with Taylor Twellman quote tweeted me on this because my opinion is that the format of MLS is in a ranking of problems with American soccer. The format of how MLS runs its season is ranked number 1,328,612 most, you know, impactful to the problems in there. It doesn't damn well matter that it's a playoff format versus a single table. It's ridiculous to think otherwise. Formats aren't better than one another. They're different from one another. They do not change things that much. I think it is absolutely, you're trying too hard if you think that that's a problem. Anyway, moving on. Zlatan,
yeah.
Look, he's entertaining to a point. It's just,
yeah.
You know, okay, let's go back to your elementary school or your secondary school times. There was always a kid in the classroom that would be like, snip, snip, snip. He'd make joke after joke after joke. In the first couple of classes, he did it. It was funny. You'd laugh. And maybe even the first joke in most classes, you'd laugh. But when, like, the seventh joke on the seventh straight day, and you're just trying to learn your history lesson, he's not as funny anymore. And that's kind of what I get down with Zlatan. He's the class clown who's, like, kind of past due.
Yeah.
It's like, just shut up. Zlatan, we're trying to learn now. Like, that's kind of what it comes down to. Like, a little, occasionally we could use a little joke from you, but not every day all the time.
Yeah.
That's what my take on him, and that's what I meant by he's trying too hard now. Maybe, I know he wants to be brand Zlatan, but enough.
Maybe that's why it's about to end. What I mean is, Zlatan is the Mourinho of players. He never stays more than 3 years at a place. So It's getting closer to the end of Zlatan than it was at the beginning. And I don't mind it.
Except for Zlatan can still play, whereas I'm not sure Mourinho could still coach at the end.
What I mean is, after 3 years, things are different and the antics can only last so long. But on that note, we'll say goodbye for today. Make sure you follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute to make sure you get all his comments and sometimes his reactions and interesting interactions on Twitter as well, with a lot of interesting fans and people of the soccer community. You can follow me at Kev Larame, and you can follow this show at Soccer Today SPN. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of Soccer Today. Also tomorrow, the Two Solitudes Soccer Podcast for patrons only. $2 a month will give you access to our exclusive podcast feed with the Two Solitudes Soccer Podcast. There's going to be more content in the near future, more shows, more premium podcasts, and different tier system in the future. But right now, the Two Solitudes will always stay for $2 a month. Make sure you go to patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork and support us financially and help us continue to grow and do more for your listening pleasure. But until tomorrow, as always, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.